Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to help get you through your work week. And for that, we are forever thankful and grateful. Glad to be here. Glad to hang out with you. Glad that you're here. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to talk a little bit before we get to the crux of the show. So if you're not into that, fast forward to about the 6 minute mark and you'll find out what we're talking about for the day. If you like to listen to us chit chat, then, you know, hang out. It's cool. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. Thanks for being here. But first and foremost, we got to get through some of the business. So check us out at all our social medias, YouTube, TikTok, Discord, Reddit, Instagram, Twitter, all the social medias. Kind of got lost in that. Just search up Hollow Sky Podcast and you'll find us there. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future episode of our listener experience show, Kyle has some information for you.
I got you. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Or if you can't remember that, it's always in the show notes. You never have to remember it. It's there. Just remember it's in the show notes. Show notes are a little weird to get to sometimes. I understand that. But it's easy. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. Shoot it over there. We're gonna file it, air it, and bring you fame and fortune for eternity.
Like you've never imagined.
Yeah. We're kind of like the genie.
In a bottle.
Baby.
You got to rub us the right way.
We are fucking nerds.
Yeah.
That's all right, though. That's all right.
We're your nerds.
We do never say nerd in a negative context.
That's true. Sometimes people are nerds.
Yeah. Most of the time when we say nerds, it's in a positive.
Unless somebody's being a fucking nerd.
Yeah. Yeah, if you know, you know.
You got to read the room.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to support the room, the show, plenty of ways you can do it.
I'm trying to cash in on that guy who said he was going to give us like $1 million. So if you're still out there listening.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Hook a brother up. Hook the brothers up.
He didn't follow through, did he?
No.
That's a nerd.
Yeah. I mean, much love.
We appreciate the.
Yeah.
The sentiment.
Yeah.
We would also appreciate the dollar mint.
Because at this point, I think that Steve and I would conclude that we should get a Hell Camino.
Yes.
Right? Car truck.
Yes.
With a fucking hitch.
Yes.
And get the ass boat, the ass master boat.
Yes. Then we could fish, cryptid hunt, do a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Things could be done. Speaking of doing things, if you'd like to support this show, Patreon, $7 a month, you get Patreon-exclusive episodes. You get all our regular content, not only early, but also ad-free. We all know how much people enjoy ad-free things.
Speaking of, I needed some fucking good, I don't know, is there like, because I know you have dowsing rods, but they feel a little cheap. Is there good dowsing rods out there that'll work? I see them fucking weirdos that ask, that's the other thing, whenever they're asking questions, who the fuck are they asking questions to? You know what I'm talking about? Because they'll ask a question, it goes yes or no, and they say thank you. And they go, hey, you know, is it this, and yes or no, and then thank you. Because I would be interested in making my little woo-woo corner for Patreon.
You could probably make your own dowsing rods.
Actually, think so?
Yeah. A couple wire hangers and some. Oh, yeah, you can make them easy.
You see that equation a lot easier than I do. I don't.
Yeah, I bet we can make them easy. Do they have to be made out of anything specific? Probably not.
I would assume so, yeah.
As long as they're the same length and the same, like, weight. Oh, yeah. We can get it.
Dude, I don't
figure it out, bud.
You hate putting together shit.
Yeah, because it pisses me off.
How the fuck are you going to build dowsing rods?
I ain't.
I don't even know how to build dowsing rods.
You're
going to
build them.
And I can build a lot of shit.
Yeah, you're right. I take all that back. I don't know where to get good guy. I don't know what constitutes good dowsing rods.
Me neither. I'm kind of bougie when I get into things. So
you need some bougie rods.
Yeah, because I'm like, you know, this fucking
bedazzled.
You know, we have the fucking original Rodecaster. They got like a Rodecaster 10 now. Does all this? We should probably get that. That's the type of guy I am.
Yeah, Kyle's
or I just get into fishing, and I'm like, you know, like couple $100 for a rod and a reel. That's a bad deal.
He does go all in.
I'm pretty bad.
It's very Kyle. I'm very Kyle coded. Kind
of bad.
Yeah.
When I get into it, I get into it hard.
Yeah. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Patreon. You know, I talk about that every time. You can go over to hollowskypodcast.com. We got a store over there. Check out some of the merch, which we're running low on.
We are running low.
You guys are cleaning it out, which means we got to get on the ball to get some new stuff in there.
Yeah, we got to decide on a logo so we can get some hoodies done.
Yeah.
I think it's time to get some hoodies done.
Yeah, it's getting cold.
Yeah.
Getting cold. Yeah, head over there, get some merch, get some stickers, some beanies, some caps, all kinds of cool stuff. Best thing you can do, it's free, it's quick, it's easy. Share the show, word of mouth. Share the episodes, hype the shows, like, comment, subscribe. Just keep us in the algorithm. You know how all that internet shit works.
Yeah, we don't.
No, we can't crack it, apparently. But just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep trying. We'll see where it goes. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And if I find them, I will gladly shout you out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from Facebook, where you can leave recommendations and ratings. Comes to us from our friend Justine. Justine says, love these guys. Two blokes who are great friends hanging out together, having fun, and researching cool paranormal stories and stories of high strangeness. Great banter. You can hear how their knowledge and insights have evolved over the years. These guys know a lot about what they're talking about. We got her duped.
I do love that. Random hair. I do love that she called us blokes.
Yeah. She says, I've had a lot of laughs with these guys over the years. My favorite podcast. Great content. Keep up the great work. Justine, thank you.
That's a wild fucking thought to think, just to hear that comment. I've had a lot of fun with these guys over the years.
I thought you meant we're someone's favorite podcast.
Well, that too, but it's crazy to sit and think that there are people that have listened to us for literally years.
It's crazy.
That's crazy to me.
We are continued talking for the last,
because it doesn't months. Really feel like we've been doing this for years. I mean, some days it does, but most of the time it doesn't.
No.
And then it's crazy that there have been people who have stuck around that fucking long.
It's pretty sick.
That's, I don't know. That's kind of mind blowing.
Pretty sick and fly.
So I appreciate that. Because remember, Steve and I kind of had this discussion. We're definitely podcasters before content creators.
Yeah. Yeah, two different worlds, and we can't figure either one of them out.
True.
But there's one that's way more foreign than podcasting, and that's content creating.
Yeah.
We're not about that.
We're not really trying to do that. We're definitely podcasters.
Yeah, we have faces for podcasts.
True.
Well, Justine, thank you. I know she made this in March of 2024, so I'm only almost 2 years behind on this one.
I mean,
we still appreciate you.
Hopefully you're still here.
Yeah. Yeah. But thank you for the kind words. And that's
much.
It's kind of awesome that we're someone's favorite.
It is.
You know, it's pretty cool. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words. It's good to hear. It's good to hear. And that we're someone's. Well, you may question your sanity a little bit that we're your favorite, but you know how it is. You can also support the show by supporting our great sponsors, who you're going to hear from right now. According to the National Institutes of Health, as many as 30 million men in the United States experience ED. It's more common than a bad night's sleep. The good news is HIMSS makes getting access to treatment simple, so you can feel like yourself again without the stress or awkwardness. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. HIMSS brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that puts your goals first. To get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit HIMSS.com/hollow1. That's HIMSS.com/hollow1 for your free online visit. HIMSS.com/hollow1. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescriptions required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey, Holocult. We're back and excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. When it comes to your health, please, please leave it to a professional. I don't know about you guys, but my entire social feed has just been filled with different health trends, like red light therapy can solve every skin problem, and you should be slamming olive oil shots first thing in the morning, or coconut oil this, elderberry that. Well, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, who are located close by, who are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I haven't had to book a doctor's appointment, thankfully. I've been pretty healthy, but I have gotten on the app and kind of messed around with it a little bit, kind of booked mock appointments, and it is super easy. It's a one-stop shop for everything that you need. Find doctors in your area, doctors that take your insurance, doctors that can get you in within 48 hours. It's excellent. Excellent. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hollow1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/hollow1. And just like that, we are back. And this week, I am bringing you another 40 and 50. I know it's been a minute, but that's not my fault. Because I apologize in advance.
Oh, so it's Delaware's fault.
To anyone that lives in Delaware, I am sorry. Because God damn, was this a slog to write. It's like everything in Delaware is haunted. And I didn't want to write about haunted stuff. So I finally got through her, finally trucked through her.
So here we are. It's only haunted stuff.
I found some possible cryptid stuff. It's fine. But we gotta get through Delaware to be able to make it to the rest.
I mean,
Wayne's World hit it out of the park with Delaware when they're doing the little travel segment, and they're like, or imagine being magically whisked away to Delaware. Look at me. I'm in Delaware.
It's a solid movie.
Yeah, so I felt that when I was writing this. No offense.
I mean,
we love you, Delaware listeners, all six of you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But we arguably, you could have just skipped Delaware.
I don't think anybody would have noticed.
You should have tried it. You should have tried it.
Yeah, too late now. I got 3,000 words here. That's as you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit, Delaware.
Yeah. You definitely should have tried it. But like you said, we're here. Might as well do it.
We're gonna hit it off.
Let's see what she's got for us.
All right. Right off the rip for Delaware, we've got the Prime Hook Swamp Monster.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Strange little creature described as being a cross between a maned wolf and a pug, is said to lurk in the swamps of Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge.
That is not what I picture surviving in a swamp.
Because a maned wolf is big and a pug is not.
Not.
Strange amalgamation.
Yeah.
Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge is a sanctuary for migratory birds located in east of Milton, Delaware in the United States. Established by John F. Kennedy in 1963, it's 10,000 acres along the western shore of Delaware Bay.
You know, it is kind of crazy because you said it's a swamp monster. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, fuck, Delaware's got swamps? And then I got to thinking more. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't visualize anything when I think of Delaware.
No.
Like, literally nothing.
I haven't thought of Delaware since I watched Wayne's World up until the point of writing this episode.
Yeah.
It's not Delaware hate. It's Delaware misunderstanding.
Unawareness.
Yeah, we just don't know.
It's like, yeah, it's the opposite of awareness.
Anybody from our six listeners in Delaware, please do us some justice.
I hope you like it there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the refuge contains a variety of habitats, including freshwater and saltwater marshes, which I'm assuming are swamps. Marshes, swamps, yeah, there may be a difference.
Same thing.
Woodlands, grasslands, ponds, forested. It supports 267 species of birds and a variety of reptiles, amphibians, and mammals, according to Wikipedia. One of the more obscure animals possibly living in Prime Hook Wildlife Refuge is the Prime Hook Swamp Monster. The Prime Hook Swamp creature has been described as being about 2.5 to 3 feet long or tall, with long, lanky legs, a light brown body, a flat pug-like face, small ears, and a long tail. It's said to be around 30 pounds. So it doesn't sound all that intimidating, honestly. Mm-mm. A Reddit user by the name of Helen J was driving in Broadkill Beach, Delaware, around dusk one evening in July of 2007. Suddenly, along the side of the road in a swampy area, a strange creature appeared. Helen and her daughter had never seen anything like it. It was small, tan, with long legs and a flat face. Helen's other daughter and her friend claimed to have also seen a very similar creature run in front of their car in the same swampy area the year prior. Helen asked around to see if anyone else had seen a similar creature, and the owner of the Broadkill store claimed to have seen the creature while out dirt biking with her dad many years before that. Some people believe the Prime Hook Swamp creature is a deformed coyote or a caracal cat. I don't know what a caracal cat is, but they think it might be that. The deformity might explain the strange facial features and lack of fur. Perhaps it's a very strange creature that simply has not been captured and categorized yet. The Prime Hook Wildlife Reserve is a big enough area with plenty of spaces to hide. They also, some cryptid enthusiasts believe that the Prime Hook Swamp creature could be a devil monkey or some other form of undiscovered primate.
A devil monkey?
Yeah.
What the fuck is a devil monkey?
Let's Google it while we're here. Bear with me, Holocult. Devil monkey cryptid. The term devil monkey refers to a cryptid from North American folklore or a specific real-world animal in New Hampshire. So same area.
Yeah.
Right? Delaware and New Hampshire's close, correct?
Oh.
Maybe not. Probably. The cryptid is described as a large, aggressive primate-like creature with features like pointed ears, baboon-like snout, kangaroo-like legs. The devil monkey of Danville, however, refers to an escaped woolly monkey that is sighted in New Hampshire in 2001. So, kind of similar.
This thing has kangaroo legs?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah.
No monkey's going to have kangaroo legs. That's just dumb.
One that jumps good.
Yeah, but it ain't going to climb trees very good.
No, it could jump up into trees.
Yeah. It might just jump and hit the tree.
Yeah. Next. So there you have it. Your first swamp monster who's half pug, half...
It's fucking main weird, wolf, dude.
Half devil monkey.
So, if it's that, because I'm picturing a large wolf and a pug combination.
Tiny little pug face.
Yeah. Does it end up looking like T-Rex at that point?
I'm guessing it's going to be on all fours. Because those are both four-legged creatures. Well, if it's a devil monkey, then it jumps on its back. I don't know, man.
I feel like it looks like T-Rex.
It probably is.
It's got the pug front paws and wolf back legs.
Like a woolly T-Rex.
Like a woolly, a woolug.
Yeah. So from there, we go to the great state of Cape Henlopen State Park, which has a thing called the Corpse Light, which I thought was a pretty badass name.
If definitely I do say a metal so myself. Band. Definitely a metal band.
So, a lighthouse is supposed to represent a beacon that guides ships home. Right? They're supposed to like warn you.
So tell me, the Corpse Light is supposed to guide corpses home.
Cape Henlopen State Park seems to be a perfect candidate for a lighthouse because of its proximity to the sea. So when a flashing light along the coast is seen, people don't question it. However, there is no lighthouse built in the park. The Corpse Light is a phantom light that lures unsuspecting sailors to their death. The Corpse Light was first spotted around 250 years ago. It's said The strange light haunts the point into this day, to this day, because British soldiers invaded a wedding ceremony being held for a Native American tribe.
Well, that's nearly, just rude.
Yeah, nearly all of the tribe was killed, and the remaining tribal members cursed the land with a drum of stone and signaled death to all European men. Locals,
that's just terrible, man, because weddings are like one of my most favorite social events.
Yeah, and the British came in just
being dicks.
Dicks.
You don't do that to a wedding. That's when everybody's supposed to be happy.
Yeah, you could have just hung out and been cool.
Yeah, you should have waited. But definitely instead, put that on hold.
Yeah, or just not murder
or everybody. Just not. I mean, that's the more logical explanation.
Yeah, but instead,
is don't.
You gotta go and wear new British stuff and yeah, murder.
With their fucking tea and beans.
Yeah, gross. Locals call these ghostly lights corpse lights or the bad weather witch.
No,
which is also kind of cool.
Corpse lights is way cooler.
Over the years, hundreds of sightings and strange events have haunted Cape Henlopen, and corpse lights continue to lure ships to the rocks of the Cape. On Christmas Day in 1655, the Devonshireman and her more than 200 sailors were lost in the night until the light guided them home, or so they thought. The mysterious light that they assumed was a lighthouse guiding them to safety was instead luring them to the jagged outcrops of rocks. The ship crashed and the ghostly light faded away. There were no survivors. To this day, residents of Cape Henlopen report seeing ghost ships on the horizon. So not only did the ghost light lure in ships, but now they're ghost ships.
It's crazy that, which I mean, the reporting of that is a little sussy, but crazy to think that after the corpse light did its thing, then it shut off.
Yeah, it got the.
Although, how did that story get out? Because everybody died.
Because other people were watching it.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's easy.
You solved that one.
Yeah, I am a paranormal investigator.
You are. I mean,
boots on the ground, Kyle.
Yeah, you're definitely. You're like the...
My boots may not be in Delaware. They're in Illinois. You're the
better version of Zach Baggins.
I don't take much.
Just saying.
I don't take much at all. The corpse light continues to claim victims. In 1798, a British ship... British, see, the curse is carrying on.
I literally thought you were going to like say a recent time.
No.
The way you sold that, you're like... It's still claiming victims in 17, and I'm like, oh, I did
it
not.
It continued.
I anticipated like a 2017.
Well, what is time? It's soon.
Also true, because it is all at once. So technically,
it's happening right now.
Yeah, technically, you're not wrong.
Technically, there are sailors from the 1600s drowning right now.
That sucks. I don't wish that for anybody.
Prove me wrong.
I definitely can't.
1798, a British ship by the name of Debrack became entranced by the lights, crashed, and sank into the shark-infested waters of Cape Henlopen Peninsula.
Why has it got to be shark-infested?
Sharks are hungry, too.
I mean, it's already getting sunk in the water. You don't need sharks on top of that. It's just terrible.
Yeah. Another incident, again in 1800... said a ghost of a lone Native American was seen standing on one of the outcroppings of rocks just before a barge crashed into the rocks, killing many on board. So, the curse is real.
Okay. Another problem with the story. So, hear me out. Roll with me. They can see the Native American... on land, but they don't see the giant rocks.
It was a distraction.
That they're about to drive into.
It was a distraction.
Okay.
You know, I would be distracted if I saw a Native American standing around.
Well, yeah. But if you're close enough to see the native, you're also close enough to see the damn rocks.
No.
You know, you're right. There probably was some unknown circumstance.
You stay away from the ocean. You don't know how the ocean works.
It's true. You're not wrong. That's right. It's true.
That's fair, right?
Yeah.
The ocean rocks are different from Illinois land rocks.
I believe that.
They just jump right out at you.
I wonder if the hairy dwarves try to steal those ones?
Probably. Mm. Probably. They probably got cursed. That's why they ended up in Venezuela. It's science.
More than Dolly. Honestly.
All right. So from ghost ships, we go straight to another cryptid, the Hockessin Deer Man.
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Well, Hockessin like is a place. Hockessin? Hockessin Deer Man? I don't know. It was submitted anonymously.
Is that like ice cream?
Yeah. 1993 near Hockessin, Delaware. This is an anonymous submission about a cryptid. Quote from Anonymous. I was 7 or 8 years old and visiting my paternal grandparents' house with the rest of my family. They lived deep in the woods and always hated it there. It felt like something was always watching and was always eerily quiet, like not even crickets chirping. My little brother and I shared a bed in one room on the ground floor. My brother would sleep at one end, his head against the window or wall, and I would be at the other end facing the window. On this particular morning, I woke up first. The sun was brilliant, making the room gold through the curtains. And there, a silhouette against the window, was a deer with the largest rack of antlers I'd ever seen. It was right there, like almost pressed against the window in profile, and I stared at it in awe. And it was at that time that it changed. In one smooth movement, it reared up on its hind legs, and it was no longer a deer. It was a man. There were only two men in the area, and that was my grandfather and my dad. And it was clearly neither of those. Not sure if that made it better or worse. My grandfather was very built for his age, and my dad had a beer gut. This silhouette was clearly younger and more muscular, but not in the like a brick way my grandfather was. It exuded strength and scared the hell out of me. It started to the side for a moment and then strode off with purpose. Looking back, I want to tell myself that it was just my imagination of a half-awake child. But I remember the awe and utter fear I felt when the deer changed. So, any of our Delaware listeners in the Hockessin area, have you seen a deer man?
I hope
a shapeshifting.
I hope that someone has.
Me too. Because you got the mythology of like the deer woman, who is kind of like a thing, where people see the woman in the woods with the antlers and shit. So it wouldn't be that far fetched. Could be like it could be just a shapeshifter type entity.
Maybe it's just a Wendigo.
They do have their own version of Wendigo in Delaware.
That does suck. Nobody wants to deal with a Wendigo.
I don't know that I pronounce it correctly, but
also,
we're going to find out when we get
a
there.
A weird situation to be in. They live way out in the middle of the woods and they hate it. Fucking move.
Yeah. Maybe the kids hated it, but the grandparents didn't hate it.
That would make more sense because I would like to be out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, same.
I mean, I don't have to deal with shit.
Yeah, I get that.
It's like, fucking, I don't know how people deal with HOAs and shit.
Yeah, that would suck. Like
crazy.
I did find a little story here in the Complete Works of Charles Fort. You know Delaware doesn't have a lot going on when you go to the index of the Complete Works of Charles Fort and there is one page with Delaware on it.
That's crazy because that book's big as fuck.
That's a thick boy.
That's big.
That is a thick boy. And I'll read this. Okay, it's said in the Scientific American that according to Warrenton Solid South, a number of persons had seen white-robed figures in the sky at night. Story in the Richmond Dispatch is that many persons had seen or had thought that they had seen an alarming sight in the sky at night. A vast number of armed uniformed soldiers practicing drills. Then, in a dispatch from Wilmington, Delaware, quote, platoons of angels marching and countermarching were seen in the sky, their white robes and helmets gleaming. Similar accounts came from Laurel and Talbot. Several persons said that they had seen in the sky a figure of President Garfield, who had died not long before. Our general acceptance is that all these reports of such phenomenon are interesting in terms of appearances and subject to uppermost in minds. But I thought that was interesting, that there were angels and armies in the skies over Delaware, probably in the 1800s, since it's Charles Fort.
Well, I mean, being that there's nobody in Delaware, it is kind of a perfect place to practice.
Yeah, nobody would see, but I mean, nobody some people would saw. See.
Well, yeah,
the ghost of President Garfield was up there too.
They underestimated Delaware.
Yeah, they underestimated the six people that live in Delaware.
They caught them.
Oh, how many people do live in Delaware?
Good for you guys. Way to be on your fucking toes.
It makes you wonder what they saw that they thought were platoons of angels in armies marching around in the sky.
They would have had to have seen people in armor fucking fighting.
Something.
Or marching and practicing fighting, I mean.
Population of Delaware as of 2024 is 1.052 million.
How many people live in Chicago?
Okay.
Is that definitely more than that, right?
Yeah. Chicago population as of 2024, 2.72 million.
Yeah, so Chicago has more people than Delaware.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Welcome to Delaware. Next, Delaware has its own version of the black dog lore called the fence rail dog.
That's a shitty name.
Yeah, it's because it's as tall as a fence rail.
Oh.
Like a fence post. Scary. So, not just a clever name.
Also, just say fence post, please.
Fence rail.
Fence rail's dumb.
I don't make up the Delaware words.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying Delaware.
I got you.
Change your words.
I got you. Okay, we're going to get into this. Okay. The legend of the fence rail dog originates in the state of Delaware, which is why we're talking about it now.
I think it literally only stays in Delaware because I had never heard that before.
Yeah. It focuses on a particular stretch of road on Highway 12, Mid-State Road to be exact, which passes through the towns of Frederica and Felton. Thought to be reported since the early turn of the century, this black dog gets its name from appearing to stand as tall as a common fence rail, which I'm assuming is a fence post here in Illinois.
Yeah.
It's roughly around 4 foot at the shoulder, so it's a big dog. The fence rail dog is also said to be nearly 10 feet long from the tip of the nose to the tip of its tail.
Pretty big.
Big dog. Big dog. But this description changes greatly depending on what story you're listening to. Along with the startling height and length, the fence rail dog is believed to possess the same red eyes that often come with these ghost dog stories, and it's said to be incredibly fast, oftentimes keeping pace with passing cars. It has been described as neither passive or aggressive, but rather assertive and aware. It's said to mostly keep to itself and just watches the road when not running alongside of it. One legend claims that the fence rail dog is a spirit of an outlaw who committed swooping after being surrounded in his home by local authorities. Rather than go to jail, the man chose to end his own life, and because of this, his spirit came back as a vengeful black dog.
How do you feel about that?
Do you think that's a punishment?
I mean, if anything, yeah.
Now you have to be the black dog from black dog lore that has the worst name ever.
Yeah, it definitely has the worst name ever. I don't know.
Who's he getting vengeance on?
I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that.
No.
It doesn't mean that I'm right. It just means that I don't like it.
Another goes on to say that the dog is the return spirit of a young slave boy who was killed by his abusive owner and whose body was desecrated and disposed of near the site of the future Highway 12. The dog now comes back and roams the area as if looking for a final resting place to put his soul at peace. Finally, there's a legend that says the fence rail dog is the actual ghost of a dog who came back to exact its revenge for the murder of its owner. The story claims that when alive, the dog belonged to a kind man who was the landlord of a boarding house. While dealing with an angry and violent tenant one day, the landlord was murdered, and his body was chopped up, ground into fine chunks, and then fed to his loyal dog. After being forced to consume the meat of its owner, the dog then was killed by the tenant, and its body was left to rot in the woods around the home. Soon after, the dog returned to the area as a spectral black dog and set out to attack all those who would soon do harm to others in the area.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. While the legend above are fun to read and tell around a campfire, according to this website, I can't remember where I got it from, Where does the truth of the fence rail dog come in? Nobody knows exactly when the dog was first spotted. It is known that it's most often seen running alongside Highway 12. Most often reported being seen on rainy nights or just before a storm was set to arrive. The witnesses of the fence rail dog claimed it looked like an oversized black wolf, but others who were lucky enough to see it swore that it had the overall body shape and general characteristics of a hyena, just much larger and much darker. So we got some different size variants, some different shape variants, a lot of...
It's weird that it shows up more when it, like, rains or storms.
Yeah.
Strange.
It's also interesting that there's so much lore behind, like there's so many different origin stories, like it has that much of an effect on the area that it has constituted multiple different origin stories.
Yeah,
which is pretty, like, pretty wild.
Yeah,
because you have to have multiple people seeing it to even begin to, like, start creating the lore behind it. Yeah, you know? Very interesting.
Yes.
Next, we have a piece of archaeological mysteriousness here called the Holyoke Mammoth. So the Holyoke Gorget, or the Holyoke Pendant, is an artifact from a section of shell that is engraved with the image of an extinct woolly mammoth reportedly found in Holyoke, Delaware, and initially identified as an example of Paleo-Indian art. Purported to have been a gorget carved during the Pleistocene area. Pleistocene?
Yeah.
Pleistocene? Pleistocene?
That's definitely the word.
Got it. The object is now widely believed to be an archaeological forgery, but we're not here to debate that. I'm not an archaeological scientist. Kyle is.
That's probably fake news. It was probably real, and they're like, well, that's worth a lot of money. Let's just trick them.
Yeah. It's a trick. Oh, it gets better than being trickery. Very, if it gets very human here at the end. So the history of the Holyoke Gorget. The gorget was claimed to have been found in 1864 near the railroad station in Holyoke. The object was reportedly found by Hilborn T. Cresson in 1864. It was not brought to the attention of the scientific community until December of 1889, or the public until February of 1890. The supposed discovery of the gorget by Cresson coincides directly with the discovery of another depiction of the woolly mammoth in France while excavating the La Madeleine rock shelter in 1864, where Edward Lartet discovered a clear depiction of a woolly mammoth on a fragment of mammoth tusk, providing evidence that humans and mammoths probably coexisted in Europe. So
I believe that
they probably also coexisted in Delaware.
I believe that
once the Holyoke Gorget had been introduced to the scientific community and the public at large, the shell was put aside and rarely mentioned in the archaeological literature of the time. It was displayed at the Peabody Museum, the Smithsonian Institute, and the International Exposition of Madrid and Chicago before fading from the public eye, only to be resurrected in the 1970s when its authenticity was once again subject to debate. So this motherfucker made his rounds in the Smithsonian, which we don't trust the Smithsonian because they hide giant bones.
That's true.
But you have to be kind of a big deal to make it in the Smithsonian, right?
One would think, because so, I don't know that you and me will make it there.
No. No. We might.
Yeah, some cheese woolly mammoth make it.
So that's kind of interesting that it was real enough to make it into the Smithsonian that we don't trust, but then it kind of gets turned into, like, not so much of an interesting thing.
Yeah, it sounds more like a cover-up to me.
Yes. So, description of the mammoth. The object is a single piece of whelk shell that has engraving of a mammoth on one surface while the opposite side is undecorated. The shell has two small perforations along one side where a cord would have been strung through to allow the gorget to be worn around the neck. The depiction of the mammoth is oriented horizontally along the shell rather than vertically as it most commonly is, or as is most common. This means when worn, the mammoth is depicted as head facing down. It now bears some damage as the object was crushed by a microscope while undergoing tests at the Smithsonian Institute in the late 20th century. So the scientists at the Smithsonian crushed the shell under the microscope while they were trying to look at it.
Yeah, that sounds like a fucking whoopsie.
You said cover up, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. They're like, this could be interesting proof that woolly mammoths and humans coexisted in Delaware.
Psych.
Hope nobody crushes this with a microscope.
Yeah, let's just break it with a microscope.
Oops.
It probably happens all the time, Steve.
Yeah. It's probably fine. As if anybody's seen a woolly mammoth in Delaware, hit us up. Next, we got some UFO-ness. A little UFO story here. November 6, 2016, military jets buzzed by an alien aircraft over Delaware. Bethany Beach, Delaware. You may have heard of HelloFresh. They're the number one meal kit in America, making home cooking easier with chef-crafted recipes and fresh ingredients delivered straight to your door. But this fall, they're serving up even more to love. This isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's bigger. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. Dig into bigger portions that'll keep everyone satisfied. I use HelloFresh, and I feel like the rest of the Hollow Cult should too. This week, I had the saucy smothered enchilada bake, and it was wonderful. The tortillas were packed with spiced ground pork and sautéed bell peppers, all covered in a zesty tomato sauce and melted Mexican cheese. Came out of the oven perfect, bubbly, delicious, and the lime crema and pico de gallo on top pulled everything together. It was awesome. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/HOLO1POD10FM now to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/HOLO1POD10FM to get 10 free meals and free breakfast for life. Hey, Hollow Cult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep. And you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole. They've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they've paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, Hollow Cult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Witness, my son, his wife, and I were in Bethany Beach on November 6, 2016 at 11:10 a.m. The sky was crystal clear blue. We observed three military planes flying east at about 25,000 feet, about a mile apart, heading over the Atlantic Ocean with long contrails. We were talking about how clear we could see the aircraft. All of a sudden, out of the northeast, we saw a bright silver acorn-shaped object approach the middle craft. It flew over the top at the same speed as the aircraft for about 4 seconds, then shot off at a high rate of speed to the southwest and disappeared. We looked at each other saying, "What was that?" We concluded that we had just seen a UFO. We were beside ourselves. What we saw was real and very clear. I called Dover Air Force Base. They said it wasn't in their jurisdiction and to call the Philadelphia International Airport. We called them. They listened and said to call the Dover Air Force Base. No one wanted to talk about it. Really weird.
Yeah, that makes sense that nobody wanted to talk about it.
I love that they called the Air Force like, "Hey, we saw a UFO over your planes."
No,
like, you need to call the airport.
And the fuck is the airport? They're going to send guys out there with them little light wands and
bring them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some other UFO, but there wasn't a whole lot of information. There were some videos and stuff, but there wasn't a lot of like actual literature. Like I said, Delaware has a lot of haunted places because I'm pretty sure it's pretty old. If you got Delawareans hanging out with woolly mammoths, you know there's people there.
Yeah, they've been there for a minute.
So, the UFO-ness, there wasn't a whole lot. There were some interesting triangle UFO videos, but as far as accounts go, it wasn't a whole lot. Next, we go to Long Cemetery in Frankfort, Delaware, with the Catman. The Catman is a creature that apparently was a caretaker for the Long Cemetery and Graveyard in Frankfort, Delaware, whom had cat-like features. Long Cemetery is located on a dirt road path in Sussex County and has been there since the 1800s. Sources say they have spotted the Catman watching over the cemetery from beyond the grave. One of the most popular sightings of Catman was while some teenagers wandered into the cemetery at night to drink some booze. They soon were scared off seeing the ghostly images of a dark, man-like creature standing in the distance. Legend has it, while he lived, Catman took his job as a caretaker of the graveyard very seriously. So, in his passing, he scared off all you little Delawarean boozers out there, disrespecting the dead. There's other places to booze it up, drunkards. Not in the Catman Cemetery.
It's weird that so many people come back as animals in Delaware.
Yeah.
That should be concerning for everyone in Delaware.
Apparently this dude had cat-like features while he was alive. So.
Huh.
Take that for what it's worth.
That's still weird. How do you have cat-like features?
I don't know. You lick milk from a bowl. Got some little whiskers.
That seems more like a fetish.
I don't know nothing about Delaware. We don't kink shame.
No. Of course
Delaware
not.
Might be strange.
Delaware is probably strange.
you're probably right about that. Others have said he's buried in the center of the Frankfort graveyard in an above tomb, according to Delaware Haunted Houses. The story is, if you knock 3 times on the brick wall behind the cemetery, he will tamper with your car so that it won't start when you try to leave.
The fucking worst idea ever.
Yeah.
Let's go break our car.
I got another source here that says, legend here centers less around a literal cat-human hybrid and more on a fully human cemetery caretaker who is said to have unusually cat-like features. He seems to have taken his job very seriously, as he was frequently said to chase off teenagers who were trying to use a secluded cemetery as a hangout spot, a.k.a. booze spot. When the Catman died, he was interred in an above-ground crypt that sadly had to be torn down in 1994, which the other one didn't say that, due to frequent threats of vandalism. So the boozers came back for revenge.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Revenge of the boozers.
Shame on you.
Picking on some poor lowly cat man.
Yeah, all he was trying to do was take care of the cemetery. He was trying to keep it cleaned up. Probably
and
picking
he
up.
He wasn't a cat. He was just a dude with cat-like features.
He was just an ugly dude.
He was just an ugly dude. Poor fucker.
He was out there picking up all your booze bottles and shit, and you guys are just harassing him from beyond the grave.
Yeah, trying to weed eat around the headstones. And
unacceptable. Those who saw the tomb before its demolition claimed to see markings resembling cat scratches on its exterior. Coincidence?
I think not.
Kyle thinks not. What else we got here? Let's take a look under here.
Cats are the devil.
Especially Catmans.
Catmans are definitely the devil.
I'm going to butcher this name, so I apologize to any indigenous people of Delaware when I say this. Next, we have the Muwe. M-H-U-W-E. Muwe. The M-H is throwing me off. What sound is that?
Muh.
So, the Muwe is considered to be the Lenape tribe's answer to the Wendigo. Which is interesting that you brought that up earlier with the deer man. With the ripped, just shredded deer man. His name in real life is probably Rip Buffington.
I hope so. That's a solid name.
Yeah. Anyway, this monster is said to be described as an ice giant with a ravenous hunger for human flesh that towers high over the trees. This is a giant, way bigger than a regular Wendigo.
I was going to say, that's definitely not a regular Wendigo.
It's said to be
like Siren Head on steroids.
Yeah, it's said to be created when a person succumbs to cannibalism or wintertime-induced insanity, which that kind of leads Wendigo way.
That's definitely Wendigo.
That's Wendigo lore. Thus, the Muwe myth serves as a similar purpose to the Wendigo myth, to encourage tribe members not to give in to their worst impulses during times of starvation and to act in the community's best interest. So don't cannibalize people no matter how hungry you are.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's like a general rule of thumb there.
Or you'll turn into an ice giant. Fortunately, though, there is a caveat. The Lenape legend says that a Muwe can be turned back into a human if one treats them with kindness and gives them snacks of civilized meals, fruits, vegetables, and animal meat.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
You can bring them back. You can save them. You can bring them back.
Yeah, what do you think the odds are the Wendigo is going to listen?
Well, it sounds like he's about 100 feet tall, so probably not good.
That's what I mean. You're in trouble.
Probably not good. And to wrap it up here, I did find some Bigfoot encounters from the BFRO in the very own outskirts of Delaware. So I got a couple of these to icing the Delawarean cake. What do people from Delaware call themselves? Delawarean?
That sounds right.
Delawares?
Deladoids?
Delawarewolves? I get it. I'll see myself out. So the first one we got, I think these go in chronological order if they're from the BFRO. They do, as a matter of fact. We're going to start in the late 1990s, February of 98, 99 to be exact. Two teenagers were on a late night drive down Route 24 between Angola and Lewis when an animal twice the size of a deer ran into the road on all fours. The witnesses say it paused in the middle of the road and stared at them with glowing red eyes before crossing to the other side. The boys became especially terrified as they drove past the spot where the creature crossed and saw a human-like silhouette staring at them. Which the fence rail dog had glowing red eyes, too.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because there are a lot of things out there that have a reported glowing red eyes.
And if it was on crazy all fours, twice the size of a deer, that's a fence rail dog size.
Yeah, and as far as Bigfoot goes, you don't hear too many stories of him being on all fours, but they do exist.
Yeah, the spider crawl is one of the creepiest thoughts that you can like imagine.
I think you're pretty close on with the fence post dog.
Yeah. It's similarities, you know, twice the size of a deer. That thing's 10 feet long, 4 feet tall, shoulders.
I feel like that's probably,
and it could also be some of the shapeshifter lore because they saw the humanoid figure standing over there. Maybe the fence rail dog is a shapeshifter. True. Maybe in Delaware, all the cryptids are the same.
True story.
June 2003, a father and son from Annapolis, Maryland, were returning from a trip to Cape Henlopen State Park, where they probably saw the corpse light. Can't confirm or deny because it didn't say anything about it, but I bet they did. Down Route 404 when they stopped to let some deer cross the road in front of them, just past the intersection with Route 1. The pair were shocked to see something else cross the road alongside the deer, a pair of bipedal creatures, one shorter than the other. They were gone too quickly for the witnesses to discern much detail other than general height estimate. The father said the larger one was taller than his son, who stood 6 foot, while the son stated that it could have looked the basketball player Yao Ming in the eye. Yao Ming stands at 7'6".
That's a tall mofo there.
Big boy. Big tallie. Next, we have January 13th, 2004. A student at Delaware Technical Community College in Georgetown was driving home from a night class when he illuminated a human-like figure standing next to a telephone pole as he drove down Old Furnace Road. He described the figure as 7 to 8 feet tall and covered in black hair. The creature spent most of the encounter with its back to the witness. When it turned to look at him, the witness lost his nerve and sped away from the area. He would later provide a drawing of the creature he saw to the BFRO, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. Got two more. August 16th, 2010, motorist Betty R. was driving her family home from vacation at Bethany Beach when, as she was driving down Route 1 near the exit to Milton, she saw something dark brown standing in a cornfield about 300 feet away from the road. She described the figure as standing 7 to 8 feet tall with its shoulders 3 foot wide. She saw its face and profile and claimed it sported a prominent brow ridge, nose, and mouth. She does not think it was a scarecrow, a human, or farming equipment. I trust Betty.
I'm with her.
You know?
It's crazy how big feats are.
Yeah, I love that, like, they had to discern that she didn't see farming equipment. It wasn't a combine. It was a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And in the previous one, I liked that when the Bigfoot looked at the dude, he just sped away.
Yeah. It's like, I don't blame him there. I probably would have done the same thing.
I ain't dealing.
Yeah, I ain't equipped to handle this.
Last one here, November 13th, 2012. A couple living near Redden State Forest had returned home from a shopping trip when the husband was startled by the most blaring scream I'd ever heard in my life, followed by 4 loud wood knocks. When the husband called his wife outside, she responded with skepticism at first, only to be frightened in turn by 4 more loud wood knocks and the sound of something large moving through the trees. The witness estimated they were no more than 100 feet away from where the sound was coming from and recalled that his dog was heavily marking the area the next day. I did read that Delaware has some of the fewest Bigfoot sightings in all of North America. It's way down on the list.
That's unexpected.
Bigfoots.
That's unexpected.
I think it's because it's small and, like, look at where it is. It's kind of just jutted out here in the middle of the damn ocean.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of a fucked up.
Like a peninsula.
Yeah, it is kind of a fucked up way to get to.
So there you have it. I know. It was, you know, I tried my best, okay? I didn't want to have a whole story full of ghost stuff.
Yeah, I'll blame you there.
Because, like, that's what you get when you look at Delaware stuff. Everywhere in Delaware is haunted. And I'll give you that. That's kind of cool. But, like, you gotta get some other stuff going on. We need some more UFOs. We need some more cryptids. Let's try to round it out a little bit, Delaware. That's what I got for you. Anybody from Delaware that's listening, no hate. All love.
Yeah.
If you got some weird stuff from Delaware, you want to redeem yourself, send it our way.
Definitely let us know.
We're here.
I would like to hear that Delaware is a little more creepy than that.
If you've seen the swamp creature, if you've seen the deer man, if you've seen the Bigfoot, if you've seen Deerfoot, send it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Deerfoot's scary.
Yeah. On that note, thanks for hanging out with us this wonderful Monday. And hope everybody's, you know, just kicking it, getting through. So, check us out all our socials. Go and engage with the show. Share it, comment, hype it on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube. It's easy. Do all the stuff. Till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And if you're from Delaware, I don't even know if Delaware exists, honestly. Just holler at us if you're from Delaware to prove it.